About a week and a half ago, I received an email from the White House asking me to come for a meeting at the White House. And I didn't believe it. So I called my buddy. I'm like, hey, I just got this invitation from the White House. Is this authentic? It says I have 24 hours to respond. They're not asking me. I just have to respond. And my buddy, who's in the legislature as well, says, I got the same invitation. I made a phone call. It's legit. You need to respond. And I had to go through all the background checks. I responded, and I'm going in a few days. Better than an invitation to the White House. You, every one of you, even up there in the top row of the balcony, you have an invitation to heaven. Amen? Now, Paul is writing to Thessalonian believers. Believers, they had accepted Jesus as their Savior. They were concerned because they thought those that had died had missed it. They thought, well, you have to be alive to go to heaven. And Paul says, no, 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 you don't have to be alive to go to heaven. If you die, you're still going to go. A clock in Strasbourg, Germany, around the dial of the clock are these words. One of these hours, our Lord is coming. The scoffer may debate it. The skeptic may discount it. The sinner may discard it. But let me go on record with all of the gusto I can. One of these hours soon, our Lord is coming. Amen? This morning, four truths about the return of Christ. Number one, sermon I'm entitling, Jesus is coming soon. First truth is this. Notice the return of our Savior. The rapture involves far more than just the removal of the saints. It is first and foremost the return of the Savior. There's coming a time when the last soul on planet Earth accepts Jesus as his Savior or her Savior. The Father will look over to the Son and say, it's time. And Jesus will split that eastern sky. When he does, there are certain things that are going to happen. First of all, notice the sights of that event. Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself, is in the emphatic position. It will be a personal return. He's not sending Gabriel. He's not sending an archangel. He's not sending just a regular angel. I like it, and I brought my hanky today. The Lord Jesus himself is coming in the sky. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the angels were talking to the disciples, and they said, this same Jesus, which was taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. The Old Testament patriarchs, they portrayed his coming. The Old Testament prophets, they predicted his coming. The New Testament apostles, they proclaimed his coming. Jesus himself pronounced his coming. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Charles Gabriel, the old hymn writer, put it like this. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Be glory for me. Amen. Sights of the event. Secondly, look on the verse. Notice the sounds of the event. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, When the Lord ascends, he's coming with a shout. Now, the Greek word is kaluo. It was used in Greek literature. A general would shout a command, kaluo, as he addressed his army. A shipmaster would shout a command, kaluo, to the rowers on the ship. A chariot driver would shout a command, kaluo, to his horses as he was driving. Three times in Scripture, you find Jesus shouting. Do you remember? John 11, Lazarus. Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And a man rose from the dead. Second time, Jesus was on the cross and he shouted, Tetelestai, it is finished. If you go read Matthew 27, it says, many that were dead came back to life. Here, the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout. When he shouts, millions and millions and millions that have died in Christ will come up out of that grave to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Do you remember the old Tarzan movies? Tarzan would be in some kind of trouble. He would climb up in one of those old trees and he would do that Tarzan yell. Oh! He would do it a whole lot better than I would do. Every elephant and rhinoceros from New York City to Africa would come running to help old Tarzan out. When Jesus lets out his yell, every saint of every age will rise up out of that grave to meet the Lord in the air. You say, hey, preacher, what's he gonna shout? I don't know. I know with John 11, he said, Lazarus, come forth. So he could say, come forth. I know in Revelation chapter 4, he said, come up hither. I'm sorry. Ask Pastor Kidd. I don't know. Sounds of this event. The command to get up. Secondly, look on. The cry to give up with the voice of the archangel. We're told in Jude 9, Michael is the archangel who continuously does battle with Satan. You remember when Moses died, Michael disputed with Satan over Moses' body. Book of Daniel, Babylonians and the Persians sought to destroy God's people. Michael was the great defender of the Israelites. Revelation 12, there is war in heaven. Michael and his angel are fighting Satan and his angel. That's the voice of the archangel, Michael. He will declare the entrance of the king. The king is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. And he is victorious. The cry to give up. And then there's the call to go up. Look at verse 16. Shout ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Trumpets are used throughout Scripture. Children of Israel are walking around the walls of Jericho. And when they blew the trumpet, the walls, you will remember, fell down flat. Beginning of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, they would blow the trumpet. Every Jubilee year, which was every 50 years, it would begin by the blowing of trumpets. If you go to Matthew 24, if you go to Revelation 1, if you go to Revelation 4, God's majesty and God's glory are declared by the blowing of trumpets. Trumpets were used in this time period to declare war. So when the trumpet of God sounds, it will only be heard by the redeemed. It will announce the arrival of the king, and he is declaring war on the Antichrist. Number one, the return of the Savior. I wish somebody else in here with me today had a hanky. Number two, notice the resurrection of the saints. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Dead in Christ are those who died before Jesus returned. Two ways you can die. You can die in your sins, or you can die in Christ. Jesus said, John 8:24, you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. So if you were to die today, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have, you will die in Christ. If you have not, it doesn't matter if you're a good person or a bad person. If you have not trusted the Lord Jesus as your substitute for your sin, you will die in your sins. You say, why will the dead in Christ rise first? Well, we got a 6-foot head start on them, and God doesn't play favorites. So he gets them up out of the ground so we can all get there at the same time, is my opinion. Now you remember, the resurrection will be the resurrection of the body, not the soul. Because when someone dies, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, we are confident, I say rather willing, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you die, your soul immediately is in the present with the Lord. Your old earth suit, your old body, goes into the ground. That's what's resurrected to meet the Lord. When Jesus shouts, the sea give up the dead that are in them. The deserts of the earth give up the dead that are in them. All the battlefields all over the world for all time give up the dead that are in them. The graveyards of the world will look like a plowed up field as they give up their dead. Your loved ones who died, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, you saw their aching body in the hospital. You saw them take their last breath. You saw their corpse lying there in that coffin. You remember still vividly that last look as they closed the coffin. Can I say this morning? It wasn't the last look. Because they will be resurrected and you will see them again. Hallelujah. No more handicaps. Hallelujah. No more disease. No more cancer. No more Parkinson's. No more pain. No more sickness. Can I get a witness this morning? Number two, the resurrection of the saints. Thirdly, notice it's where you and I come in. The rapture of the saved. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Caught up, the Greek word is harpazo. It means to seize hastily or to take by force. In the rapture, the Lord will come and take his bride, the church, the believers, those that have accepted him as Lord and Savior, he will take us. Bottom line, when Jesus comes in the air, we go. Nothing will stop us, and no one will stop us. We're gone. Now, let me give a couple of points just in here. The rapture will include all saints. There's no such thing ever taught in any verse of Scripture that teaches a partial rapture. All who have accepted Christ will make the trip. Every one of you. If you've accepted Christ, when he comes, we're all out of here. Second thought. The rapture will include only saints. There will be many fine moral people, religious people, who will be left behind. There will be church members that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They'll be left behind. The only people that will be raptured to meet the Lord in the air are those that are in Christ, those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You say, well, No. Here's what it is. Has there ever been a time you realized you were a sinner? And you realized, I cannot pay for my sin, but I believe Jesus died on a cross, was buried, and rose again as my substitute and for my sin. And I put my faith in Jesus, and I am his follower. That's how you become a Christian. And that's how you know for sure when the rapture takes place, you're taken out of here. Imagine how the rapture will happen. Christian family. Wife is in the kitchen washing dishes. Rapture takes place. The water's running, but she's gone. Husband, for sake of illustration, is outside landscaping the front yard because his deacons supposedly love him. Rapture takes place, and that old boy is definitely out of here. He's taken. Daughter is upstairs in the room playing with her baby dolls. Rapture takes place. She knows Jesus, and she's taken. Son accepted Jesus in vacation Bible school. He's riding his motorcycle. All of a sudden, the motorcycle is going, but there's nobody on that motorcycle because he's raptured out of here. He's taken. Christians on interstates, taken. People in office buildings, taken. Surgeons doing surgery that know the Lord, they're taken. Nurses working in hospitals, taken. Pilots flying planes that know the Lord Jesus, taken. Imagine the chaos that's going to be on planet Earth. The TV bulletins. Husbands who didn't know Jesus, but they had a wife that did, running home to find some answers. But when they get there, their wife's not there. Parents calling children, hey, help. But their children aren't there to answer. I have no doubt people are going to be coming to this church. This church preached Tribulation Trail. It preached Tribulation Trail. We'll get answers there. None of our staff's going to be here. Tell us. Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. All of this will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Now, scientists tell us that when you blink, it's 1/50th. Of a second. Scientists tell us that an average person blinks 25 times a minute. But it doesn't say in the blinking of an eye. It says in the twinkling. That's the light that hits your eye. Here's my point. Well, I'm going to wait till Jesus comes and then I'm going to get saved. You won't have time. Jesus comes. Those that have been heaven-born will be heaven-bound. And those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe they're a church member. Maybe they go to Sunday school. Maybe they've been dunked in a baptismal tank. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will be left behind. Number three, the rapture of the saved. Number four, notice the reunion of the sanctified. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Notice where this meeting is going to take place. In the air. And who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan is. So we're going to have a meeting in the dwelling place of Satan. Or we're going to have a Georgia Bulldog victory dance in Satan headquarters. Look what it says. To meet the Lord. It was used of dignitaries of cities. Guests would formally, when they would come to the outskirts of the city, they would send out the dignitaries to meet them. And those dignitaries would usher them in to heaven. That's what he's saying. Imagine the reunion in the air. Jesus comes out to meet us. Himself, Jesus comes out to usher us into the heavenly city. Woo! To meet them in the air. We all have loved ones on the other side we long to see. Grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, fathers, children, friends. But it says to meet the Lord. Meeting our loved ones will be grand. And I know later on he's going to wipe all tears from our eyes. I think there's going to be some tears at this moment because it's been so long. And I think that we're going to see, we're all going to have heavenly bodies just like Jesus had a heavenly body at this point. And we're going to say, man, you never looked so good. And we're going to hug. And we're going to celebrate just like we did this morning. We're going to celebrate Jesus because Jesus made it all possible. And we're going to say, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. And we're going to give him all the glory. Imagine seeing Christ for the first time. The marks on his body. Imagine seeing his face. Imagine hearing his voice. Imagine being welcome into heaven. I made all of this for you. I built this mansion for you. Hey, I prepared it intricately. I know your desires just for you. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's nothing frightening. There's nothing scary awaiting the Christian in the rapture. We can be comforted because we're going to live again. Hallelujah. We live in a world of death and we live in a world of dying. Comfort one another means death for the Christian is not the end. Comfort one another means we don't lose our loved ones. We just send them on ahead. Comfort one another means there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet, by and by. Comfort one another means, verse 17, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. There are three different words for the word with in the Greek language. The word with here means close, intimate, affectionate association. So let me put it in context. Comfort one another means we'll be in close, intimate, affectionate association with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? If not, accept him today.